I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Spoke. I am Fem.
And I'm Big Sue. And today we are talking about mixed heritage.
True. So the ethnic and cultural landscape of Britain is vastly changing. People of mixed heritage are the UK's fastest growing ethnic group. And an exploration of race, identity and belonging is permeating conversations around the UK.
Trust me. And for many people, being from a mixed heritage background is about carving a space between contrasting cultures and finding your identity within that. Other people may define themselves within one ethnic group as they deem the concept of whiteness as excluding all those who are not.
The idea of having to indicate your heritage and ethnicity by a few rigid boxes is something which completely reduces the complexities of one's identity. As the UK is becoming more and more ethnically diverse, we explore the intricacies of coming from a mixed race heritage background, how people cope with staying true to their identity and navigating their way through different cultures.
Ooh.
This week,
we have...
got...
I love the way we're going back to back. We got Joy Crooks...
and Swindle.
Jeez.
Big names.
Big names, trust me.
We're just talking about marriage at the moment, aren't we?
We were talking about hella things. Talking about where we're from, where our partners are from. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously, my girl's mixed.
Yeah.
What's her mix?
She is from France and Algeria.
Okay.
So you get me?
Yeah.
It's a different one, but it isn't.
Yeah. I get it.
It's a bait one.
I was going to say it's pretty bait.
It's bait, but they don't really always, you know what I'm saying? More time.
The Algerians keep to them. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, her dad's Algerian, her mom's French. So like, when they came together, it was just mad. It was like, what? They're both of their families coming together, like, her posh, like, not posh. My family ain't posh, but they're from like a nice place in France called Saint-Nazaire, where it's like a little villagey on, it's got the beach and that, like they got their own little town and that, like, you know what I'm saying, big house and that. And then he's just from like Algeria, so
right.
some man from Algeria on a grind. So when they linked up, it was mad, like. But yeah, what about your girl? Where's your girl from?
She's from she grew up in Holland, but she was born in Suriname, which is next to Guyana.
Okay.
Like South America.
Okay.
So. How does she find growing up in Holland? Because Holland is pretty.
Yeah. So like.
There's a lot of Surinamese
yeah.
people.
Yeah, so that's like the equivalent yeah. of West Indians in, Holland, in London or whatever.
When I'm in Holland, everyone thinks I'm from Suriname.
Yeah, same. Yeah. So, you know, she probably like dealt with the same pros and cons that we do being mixed in England and same in Holland. Except for we don't have like Black Pete and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Speaking of being mixed, what is your opinion of the term mixed race?
I guess I got so used to it, I've been called so much worse.
I'm just waiting for it to become inappropriate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But not that I know why. I mean, I feel like I'm two very different races. I am mixed.
Yeah.
But I always say I'm 100% of both.
Yeah.
When I was little, man, we used to get called half caste.
Like, yeah, like, and that's problematic. Yeah.
So like, I'm cool with mixed race.
Yeah. I've been called half caste.
Yeah.
Always confuses me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, did you really say that?
Yeah.
But
it was like kind of normal.
That's what I mean by normal, I'm waiting for it to become inappropriate. But then half caste is very problematic.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I think what I find mad is like looking back at my... Because I grew up outside of London. So I feel like that in itself is a slight disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up in a school where I was probably one of five Black kids or mixed race kids in the school. And
I can relate.
Yeah. And I think like when you... are a minority like that, I think you just come to terms with what you're called, and that is, like, I was called Caramel and I was fine with that. Like, a girl would tell me that I'd be prettier if I was white, and I was fine with that because that was obviously
just what you would.
Yeah, that's what was the norm.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, when you looking back, I just like realized that so much of what we had kind of had ingrained in us as kids is like so wrong.
Yeah.
No, 100%.
Yeah.
I used to get commented on my arm hair a lot.
Yeah.
I'd just be like at least my eyelashes are banging. Like, whatever's on my body is not your business.
Yeah.
I didn't realise like any of this was important until like I grew up in Brixton first, and then we moved down to a small town just outside of Croydon when I was like 8 or 9, and then went to a primary school. So I went to a school that was like as mixed as a school could possibly be, to like then being like one of the five, and like day one just coming home like, "Mom, what's a wog?" Like, what's, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then just kind of like I learning that some people would have a problem with my existence like, at 8 was like a weird thing. Do you know what I'm saying? So I never like took it as normal. I definitely felt a way about the way people would view me.
How did your mum respond to that?
She said, next time someone opens up their mouth and you think they're going to come out with one of these words, like smack them in their teeth and I'll back you. Do you know what I mean? So,
where's your mum from?
My mum's English.
Your mum's English?
Yeah.
And where's your dad from?
Jamaica.
Jamaica, okay.
Yeah. So, like the Jamaica English like link up is actually similar to the French-Algerian link up, if you think about it.
I
right?
hear what you're saying.
Do you know what I'm saying? So,
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Ben, that's your mix as well.
Growing up, I didn't really know that these kind of like things were a problem. Like the way that people would speak to me was a problem. And I think, because I never really went back and told my parents about it. And my brother, we were all both going through it at the same time, but you never see it as a problem. So I think it's one of those things that like, only now am I really realizing and talking to my dad about it, like what the hell was happening. And I've always lived in a white area with white friends, and then I come to London and it's completely different. Yeah, it's like, it's a hard topic to talk about because when it's been ingrained in you for so long,
it's like you have to unlearn those
Yeah. And what is normal? And why is that not normal? And like, actually, what is mixed race? Why am I identified as mixed race when there are so many people who, like, everybody's of a mixed race in a kind of way? So I think it's like,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Everybody is a mix of races in every country. Even when you said like, where's my mum from? She's English.
Yeah.
But actually, it's like, oh, did you know your granddad was actually Italian?
Yeah.
And did you know, and da-da-da-da-da, and you know that we came from here, and grandma was born in Birmingham.
Which is the story of immigration.
And it's just like, I guess we're mixed race because our heritage are considered races, do you know what I'm saying?
But
whereas
then,
maybe being a mix of five different countries where people are white, you're not considered mixed race because that's considered one race. Whereas someone from Algeria or Brazil or...
I think it's a question of culture though, in the sense that like, not to put other countries down, which is why I'm not going to mention countries in this, but there will be some European countries that will have a stronger culture than others. And that can also be a story of immigration as well, because a lot of, you know, you might get countries like... London is almost a country in itself, which has a huge culture, but it is made up of so many different cultures. Yeah. So, you know, people associate us with bangers and mash, but actually I associate myself with Irish bars and dal and curry. Do you know what I mean? And and actually you get like Irish culture, which is a very strong culture, or like Jamaican culture, which is a very strong culture. So it really depends, like, if your cultures are watered down and like, you know, you may have had an Italian grandfather, but none of his... pride of his culture, or even maybe he just didn't want to pass down his culture or his mother tongue.
Do you
see what I mean? Exactly. Or death or any of these things. It just doesn't trickle down because then you don't get to have that experience of that culture. Do you know what I'm saying? Which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just that that's just what happens with immigration in general, whether you're from a white country or whether you're from whatever.
I think when you immigrate from somewhere and have kids in said place, like you kind of want to, like you see that in like Jamaican families, like So many of us like never been to Jamaica, but know so much about our culture understand like language and all this kind of stuff, because it's important for us to have it in our upbringing. Do you know what I mean? We still really traditional stuff, even though I live a very London British life.
100%. But then you think about stuff like African Americans, and they don't know where they've come from. Yeah. Like, they see the colour of their skin, but they don't know what... And we're really fortunate to be able to go, now, even if I haven't gone back home to Jamaica or Bangladesh or there or whatever, at least I know I'm from there and the culture's brought over here. Yeah. And, you know, even though there's a story of migration, it's come with the food, the culture, the stories, the history. And unfortunately, there's only so much that a lot of, like, African Americans can know. And that, for me, is... That's mad, because if you think about it, sometimes I think about a lot of Bengalis migrating to the UK, and maybe like our parents, no matter if they're Bengali, whatever culture they're from or country they're from, and some parents not wanting to teach us the mother tongue, some parents not wanting to teach us how to wrap a sari, how to do this, how to do that, because they don't want you to go through the same shit as they went through.
But I think it is that education that allows you to turn this idea of it, like the negative of being mixed race, into a positive that allows you to...
But then that's so difficult in itself as well, because you'll get people around you being like, well, why do you want to look back? Why do you... You know who you are. And your interest in your culture then becomes a subject of like... Of like a conversation, like when it's not your business, what I do with my cultures. You know, so I feel like with mixed heritage, you might, you know... I'm Bangladeshi Irish. I might someday just be on learning about Bangladesh. And that's happened. I've been on... You know what? I know about my Irish side. My dad has taught me a lot. I'm going to learn so much about Bangladesh. And then that might offend my Irish parent or someone in my Irish family. And it's like, well, it's not your business, because magically I was made through a womb with Bengali and Irish in me. And if I want to understand my Irish side for 4 weeks, or if I want to go to Bangladesh for 3 months and understand who I am, that's not your business. Do you know what I mean? So it comes with all these different complexities as well, from outside opinions that aren't necessarily always valid at all, even if they are your blood. It's like, actually no, like I want to understand. Even if you're you know, like my Bangladeshi side might be like, well, why would you want to understand about your Irish side? Or, you know, like if you think about some of the wars as well, if you're English and the Jamaican side might have like a stigma towards that, some of your Jamaican family might be like, well, why would you want to know about your English side?
I guess that the biggest misconception about mixed people is like we have this like choice to pick a side or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this is the thing. And this is what I find sad about like, my upbringing slightly is...
You didn't put the lineage.
Exactly.
No, but I get you. Like, I didn't grow up with my dad, didn't it? And my dad's Lebanese. I was raised by my mum. So, like, I consider myself an African person. Like, I'm blatantly a black kid. But I look Arab. I look like I'm Moroccan. Everyone thinks I'm Moroccan.
But you don't feel in...
But I'm not... Obviously, I'm Lebanese. I know that. I talk to my dad and that. You know what I'm saying? I know about my sides and that. I know. But if you ask me, what do I think I am? I think I'm African. I even talk like an African. Like deep down.
Where's
like,
mum from?
My mum's from Sierra Leone.
Okay.
So like, cause she raised me, I didn't have that Lebanese side. Like obviously, do you know what's mad though? My mum's dad is the same mix as me. So I'm a bit more Lebanese. So my mum grew up with Lebanese culture. So when she raised me, she gave me like the Lebanese side, but like man eat food for her and that. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what it is. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so but when I'm with African youths, they don't think that's off. But then when I can speak Creole, innit? Fluently. So there's times I'll be with people who are from Sierra Leone. They'll be like, oh, I'm from Sierra Leone. I'm like, what's in? Because show me by the air. They're like, what are you saying, bro? I'm like, brother, you said you're from Sierra Leone. Because like, what? They're like, oh, I don't even speak the language. Like it's mad. Sometimes I think of it like that. Sometimes there's people who have a Sierra Leonean mom and dad, but they haven't gone back to the country and they don't know. You know what I'm saying? But me, I just raised by my mom. Like, I'm half Sierra Leonean, but I've gone back to the country. I can cooked jollof, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you're so lucky. You're
that's what I'm saying. Ones. Like, what you're saying you're about luck, like, luck, that's what I'm saying. It's true. Like, I'm lucky that I think I'm lucky that I've been able to experience the culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, some people do have that cut off when they come to this country, they just want their children to just be British. And just know about where they're from. But I don't know, for me, that don't make sense. Because like, for me, I never went through that. And all the people around me, they are all like, immersed into their culture. They all, everyone represents where they're from, because all my friends are from different places, but like a lot of my friends are Arab, and like they all, like my boys that's Iraqi, like man knows you're Iraqi, he's talking about Iraq all the time. My boy that's Iranian talking about Iran all the time. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it's a bit different. But then when I'm with my brothers that are like like a couple of my boys are St. Lucian and that, like, they won't really talk about where they're from and like what their culture and stuff. Yeah. So I think, I don't know, it's mad. I feel like certain places, like now I'm understanding it because you lot said it. Like, I always thought about that. Why do man not really talk about where they're from? Yeah. But now the way you're putting it is making sense to me.
Yeah, I think the thing is that it is like, it is this idea of protection. Like right now, where we are right now, it's cool for us to be able to talk about this, and it's cool for us to be able to like share stories, investigate it a little bit. But I think the thing is that when our parents or our grandparents moved to England, it's a completely different story.
Mm.
And like, I think that it is, like I said, about education, because unless you really know what they went through, it's so hard to really understand.
Well, to contextualise why you are the way
Exactly.
I think the thing is, it's generational trauma as well, and we forget that. Like, even didn't Sierra Leone have a war as well?
Yeah.
I mean, like, 100%. So you have these stories that our parents went through, and it's kind of like, imagine the way I see it is, I imagine my grandma fighting so hard to like get out of Bangladesh. Then she ends up in Iran. She wasn't even born in Iran. She was, none of our family Iranian. She ends up in Iran, and then there's another war. And then she's over here, sought political asylum. My mum comes here. Imagine my mum's like, not really seen her mum that much growing up, this, that, whatever. All these levels of trauma, all these levels of difficulty.
Mm.
And so when she comes over to the UK, and then they're treating her like she doesn't belong in the country, when she's seen all of this outside the country, or my grandma's seen all of this outside the country, and England's sometimes played a part in those problems, and then you travel all the way to the country, and then they go, they don't, you know, we don't want you. You're not good enough. Your skin colour is not good enough. The way you speak, the way you smell isn't good enough. Then, of course, it's understandable that when you have a child, you go, well, I don't want them to go through what I went through.
Yeah.
When it isn't necessarily the best thing, because they haven't been able to have the generation we have where we can be proud, and we can have podcasts about being mixed, and we can have podcasts about, like, what food you like, and recommending a Lebanese grill to me, and da da da. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas those conversations weren't happening. Even mental health, our parents probably weren't allowed to articulate as much as we are. We're so lucky, but at the same time, unfortunately, in the process of us becoming this lucky and being this articulate and having the lives we've had and growing up London and growing up without war, like, we've also had to sacrifice things.
Yeah.
I don't know my mother tongue.
Yeah.
Irish people, only in the West people speak Gaelic now.
Yeah.
And that was the country's language. And this is the thing, like, stuff gets watered down. And half of it is very, very rational and reasonable and understandable because of the traumas that our parents have been through, because of the lack of mental health awareness. But then becomes this generation, they call us the third generation, and we're not third generation, but like, as in mixed kids and growing up in all these different environments and adapting to different cultures and, you know, growing up in ethnic minority areas, etc. But there's always feels like sometimes there's a little bit piece of us missing.
Yeah.
And we're actually allowed to articulate that.
Yeah.
So it's not a good or a bad thing. It's kind of just what we're in now. And we're just, I think it's a really beautiful generation because actually we're so interested and we want to have these conversations and we want to learn about, like, I'd love to learn about Jamaica. Why? Because a lot of my friends are Jamaican, or because it's, I think Jamaica's had a huge impact on this city.
Yeah.
And I respect that so much. And I want to learn about Sierra Leone. I want to learn about this, that. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And we're allowed to. And that's beautiful. But we also have to, like, unlearn things, like you said, in ourselves. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, I'm always interested in that complex because I don't want to be this whiny mixed race person that's like, my life is so hard. No, I acknowledge that I have like forms of privilege, like my skin is lighter than my family's, this, that, whatever. But I'm also so willing to have the conversations that we're having and like understand more that maybe my parents didn't want to teach me, you know?
Well, personally, I think that being mixed race is a gift. Like, because there's so many gifts.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah, 100%.
And I don't know about you, but I'd love to hear what you think the gifts are of being mixed race.
I mean, I'd love both my cultures.
Yeah.
And like I said, and I'll always say for the rest of my life, I'm 100% of both, and we all are 100% of both.
Mm.
Like, doesn't matter if we don't speak the language. Doesn't, it's in our blood.
Yeah.
We had 100% of one parent and 100% of the other, even if they weren't necessarily always in our lives. That's what I'm made of.
Yeah.
I even say I'm 100% like South London because I grew up there. That's where I'm from. So these are the places I take influence from. And these are what I'm made of. And therefore, like, my gifts are It's, my gifts are sunshine in South London. Yeah. My gifts are showing you around like my area. My gifts are my mannerisms. My gifts are the fact that when you come to my house, I'll feed you. Like my gifts are being open, being able to listen to people. And I think this all comes from my culture because I'm a sponge and this is what I grew up in. Do you know what I mean? So when I say my culture, I'm not going, well, this is the Bangladeshi side. I'm going, well, this is is probably out of one of these compartments that have made me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's not only down to my countries, that's down to my neighborhood, that's down to the stories in my neighborhood, that's down to the people that have been in my life, that's down to the problems I've had or the experiences I've had growing up. It's down to everything. And I think it's so simple for people to be like, well, you know, that's very Jamaican of you, or that's quite Bengali of you. Da, 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 da. It's like, no, we're more than just two countries as well.
Yeah.
Do you know
my
what I mean?
My family definitely does that. Like when my daughter does something, they'll be like, yeah, look, that's the Jamaican in there.
Yeah. And it's funny, don't get me wrong, it's endearing. Yeah. But I think that it's very simple to be able to put people in their in their box, you know. Yeah, when you are 100% of one country, you can't keep just going, oh, that's the British in them. Well, yeah, but they might have like... they might have spent some time in Deptford. They might have spent some time here, there. They might have lived out in Africa for 2 years. You don't know.
Yeah.
So like people are people because they're made of so many different things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And what I find so interesting is that obviously Black music itself has become so, like it's just become like massively popular over like the past, I don't know, say five years. And
I think it's always
I say 100 years.
I think it's always been. Yeah, because like Black people invented all like all genres, I believe, like jazz, blues, soul.
Anything since classical.
Yeah. Like obviously when you open a book, you're not gonna see Handel and Beethoven, but who said that there wasn't a Black guy doing exactly the same stuff, if not better? Do you know what I mean? So I feel like Black artists have existed and been pop throughout time.
Yeah. That is true, 100%. But I guess like the rise of grime, say.
Say in England.
Yeah, in England.
Yeah.
And I think what is so interesting and say for the rise
instead
of grime
of indie
is,
music.
Yeah. I was going to say in artism.
Indie died in 2009. It's actually been 10 years.
Yeah. But so it's been... That's
crazy, Kate Nash or Lemma. I love indie, don't get me wrong. But yeah, go on.
Bombay
sorry.
Bicycle club. Say like the rise of grime and just like the dialect and the language used in grime and how that's become so common in like young white kids, I think is really interesting.
Dude, how do you feel about that?
Because they're the demographic that take it in.
Yeah.
Which is mad. I find that mental.
If you look at the UK, who makes up the UK, innit? When a man does a UK tour, where are you going? You know what I'm saying? Don't get it twisted.
You're not going to Holden.
There's mixtures in every place. It's like, if you're in Notts, there's like a lot of people from the Caribbean. If you're in Bristol, it's man mixed. If you're in Birmingham, there's a lot of Asian people. It got like Liverpool is light-skinned people. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's mixtures across the UK. But the main demographic that taking music across, if you're from, like, England making music, who is going to be taking your music? Yeah. It's the white people.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to have people that from all over the world listen to your music. If you're big in England, let's say Stormzy, for example, just to break down who a lot of his fans are, it's going to be
look
young
at
white people.
Who the majority, they're the majority in the UK, full stop.
That's what I was going to say.
That's what I'm saying.
Someone should check out the right percentage, but I'm sure it's something like only 12% of England actually isn't white. Or something. It's much smaller than
I think it's bare small. I think it's like, oh, what is it? I can't remember, man. I can't remember. I'm not going to say it and then man just gassing. But
would you tick on the form? You see when you get these forms?
Yeah, that's true.
White did you ever get taught? Like, I got taught, just don't play into it and just go for other.
I just do mixed other.
Yeah.
I say white and Asian, but I don't know. I always have this weird feeling that, because I find it weird when I look at those boxes too.
Yeah.
But
it depends also as well if it's like a
I
police
also
officer
think,
or
if
the
you
doctor.
Think about,
do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I think it's 100%, yeah. But if it's your genetics as well, like when it's at the doctor or if I'm seeing like a nutritionist, which I've only seen once in my life, I'm not out here seeing nutritionists.
Jeez!
But no, because I'm gluten intolerant. And actually, I think that it's really important to know where you're from because that's going to have a huge effect on if you're lactose intolerant, if you're gluten intolerant.
Here's the thing, so when my wife's pregnant and she's from Suriname, both her parents are mixed. So she's got Indonesian, West African, European blood in her.
Mad.
Probably equally. But when she went to on the form, she actually wasn't on it. It was like Black, Caribbean, white, Asian. Like, it just wasn't on there. She's South American, Caribbean. It just weren't on there. And I was kind of looking at the midwife like, does this mean that she's susceptible to everything or nothing? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear that.
So it's just like, I don't know, it's like...
It's complicated, isn't it?
That, yeah.
Yeah, but that only goes so far, I think. You could say the same for us. Like, I could have a completely Irish stomach, who knows?
Yeah.
And just, I can't hack spice. But I can hack spice, but you know... Like, it's not, I don't think it's as simple as going, oh, this is, like I said back to before, it's like, oh, this is your Irish side, this, that. But I think it's important. Yeah. And I think that when I found out I was gluten intolerant, funnily enough, like a lot of people on my Irish side have stomach problems. So I was like, okay, cool. That's from this side of like the genetics.
Yeah.
But then I saw the doctor again and he was like, you realize if you lived in a hot country, all of these issues would be gone. Right. And I'm like, well, that's definitely not the Irish side, is it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it's interesting. And knowing how well you can deal with lactose.
Man, he definitely can't eat no cheese, man.
Black and Asian people can't eat lactose. But
I still
munch
it. I still eat, I can't lie.
Yeah, I do sometimes.
I'm warring.
I feel like being ethnic in general is convincing yourself that you're not intolerant to lactose for your life.
Trust,
until one day you have like a cheese string and you throw up.
Nah, man stopped drinking milk, I can't lie. Man came to the conclusion, my mum was the one that she's like, listen, she said, as a family...
We're
buying almond milk. We're not buying no more grated cheese. Like, I used to make mac and cheese every day. Like, I'll make it from scratch, innit? I'll cook the roux, everything. Boom. Build up the bechamel sauce. Beer, cheese, bear mozzarella.
Do you make your own pasta?
Nah, G.
You said you
cook it from
scratch.
I'm not Italian. I can make pasta, get me? That's light work. What's that? Egg and flour. Come on, Ak. Come on, it's egg and flour, sir. You just roll it. And then leave it. Come on, man could be Italian, don't you? Come on. Ciao bella.
You tell yourself that.
Ciao bella. You know what I'm saying? But...
But no, for no... Like, no more.
Yeah, man, no more of that. Sorry. Okay. I miss milk. Can't lie, I miss it. It makes cereal taste better.
True.
Oat milk and cereal, all these. I've tried every combo, fam.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not working, fam.
Do you know what works with porridge? Coconut milk with porridge is nice. Yeah.
Coconut water with porridge is so good.
Oh, no, I couldn't do that.
And it's so good, I'm not going to lie.
I don't know about porridge.
Really good.
I don't know about porridge in general, but I just, you know, like when I do eat it when I'm feeling like healthy, which is once every year, it's nice with coconut milk.
Race, ethnicity, and nationality, what's the difference?
Ooh.
Sorry, say that again.
Race, ethnicity, nationality. What's the difference?
Nationality is what's on your passport.
Yeah, so nationality, I'm Irish.
Okay.
I'm British.
No, it's British too.
British.
Irish passport, the most neutral passport in the world. I go anywhere, flick that out. Oh, I'm an eighth Irish. Oh, let me in. Great. Fantastic. And obviously, because I don't look necessarily Irish.
Yeah.
I don't have to, like, they don't have to give me their whole backstory because they go, oh, she's probably an eighth like me as well. She's probably just her grandma. And I go, yeah. Can I go through your pass? Can I go through your airport now? Yeah. I'm like, great. And no questions asked. Never. Eyebrows never raised. And you give someone an Irish passport, they're like,
okay.
Paddy. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's so neutral. Obviously, sometimes there's a conflict because I feel like I step out looking like me and then with an Irish passport. And it's just like, where does she buy this?
Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
Have you?
I was saying that I got off a Eurostar and ironically, it was a brown woman. I think she's Pakistani. She took me aside and she was like, ma'am, where have you come from? And I'm like, okay. Not a refugee camp. Yeah, I have come from Belgium, but like, that, you know.
Mm.
And then obviously, I just felt like an idiot getting out an Irish passport. Her looking at me.
Yeah.
Then looking at the passport, then looking at me. And I just went, I hope she doesn't look in my bag because I had, like I said, I had a huge statue of the Virgin Mary in there.
Just so random.
But I just looked really fresh that day, to be fair, because I had like the high-waisted acid wash jeans. I had a Scott bomber jacket and I had a beret tilting to the side. So I looked like I'd just fought some kind of like revolution in Iran or some shit. So fair dues to
her. How long did it last? Did you manage to get away quickly?
I was sweating in places I didn't know I could sweat. Do you know what I mean? And then I rang up my mum and I was crying.
Oh.
And I was just like, they never treated you like this. She's like, darling, you walk out and you are that bitch. And I'm like, okay, mum, cool, okay, that's fine. Yeah, fine.
And then race and ethnicity, what are they? What do you think?
Race and ethnicity is.
Ooh.
Ethnicity, I guess, is like what's in your blood.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like quite measurable, I think.
Yeah, but when... So let me give it to you like this. What race are you?
Yeah.
How would you answer that question?
I'm
a mix of races.
Okay, mix of race. Okay. And then you're... Yeah. Okay, fair, yeah. I agree. That's
a big umbrella. Mixed race is a big... Everyone just thinks
it means like race is a big
everyone
umbrella,
thinks it just
man.
Means light skin. Yeah, like, yeah. Even my girl, like my girl's French and Nigerian, I tell her, you're not mixed race. I'll just say you're white. Get a bear note. It's so funny. But she's mixed race.
Yeah, yeah.
But like man said, I'm always like, it's exclusive to light skinned people. Like I say, when we tan, it's different.
she gets
so annoyed. It's so funny. But then when you think about it, yeah, like I'm blatantly trying air, innit? It's not. Yeah. It's not like she is mixed race as well.
She doesn't have to go to Spain and be addressed as Morena, which means brown. Literally translates. I get called brown.
Say
in Spain.
Again.
Morena.
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 So like it's a sweet thing, but it literally translates to brown.
Brown.
Yeah.
So it's just like going, oh, brown.
Yeah.
But in like a sweet way, you know.
Yeah.
That's just like.
But
you know.
Actually, no. On that, I want to talk about like what you've been called and like because the other day my friend was like.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Talking about how she grew up in a school where this kid was called Brown Bear because he was the only black guy in the school. And he went along with it. He went along with it because like that was him. He was Brown Bear.
Yeah. So. Every single Jamaican man on Portobello Road has called me Pocahontas once or twice. Yeah. Every single one of them. But you know what? It's the way that they deliver it that I go, you know what? You're such a sweetheart. It doesn't matter.
On Bello, you know. Yeah. Oh my days.
Yeah. Pocahontas.
Zoo.
Poker.
Yeah. Oh, just, you see a couple of my Arab brethren, I'll be with their friends and that. And like, they'll just like, just call me the N-word and stuff. Like, just talk to me like, what up, bro? Like, bruv, what you doing?
Yeah, they think
they like they express their like idea of what a black person is to me all the time. Like,
and you're and not. It's not like you're the ambassador.
I have to
of
pull
that.
Them up. Yeah. When I was younger, not now. Obviously, not now. You know what I'm saying? Now maybe once in a while, isn't it? Once in a while, man will chuck a little accent. I'm not talking about my dogs. Obviously, my dogs, they might chat rubbish, but when I'm with their friends sometimes, or with their people, or in a place, or if I'm in a mosque. You know what I'm saying? If I'm in a mosque or if I go to like a youth club in the ends, I was like, but it's bare Arab youths. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
do you ever feel like they seek validation?
Oh, all the time, bruv. Yeah. All the time. Like, bare with them, like, they say the N-word. If there was a black person here, you would not be doing that. Because it's like, what's wrong with you, fam? Why are you talking to me like 50 Cent? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this is when I was younger.
Some 2006
man
swag.
Man can proper see, like, you man are bare racist to black people, but you will never show, man. Yeah. You'll show me, though.
Do you ever feel like they pick and choose?
Yeah, 100%. Because when I'll be with them, I'll be, like, the only black brother, but I'm not black to them, like.
I feel like the caste system is very
it's like
prevalent.
Their way of saying, like, you're cool. I feel like sometimes both sides do that. So, like, someone might just be, like, they're comfortable enough to tell their racist jokes in front of you.
Yeah.
So you got an in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or they might be comfortable to, like, I don't know, talk down white chicks to you or something.
Yeah.
Forgetting the fact that your mum's white.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's this kind of like.
Yeah, I've definitely seen
it's, you're right.
You're part of this.
Yeah. You could be one of us, like, for as long as you put up with, like, our open racism.
Towards your other side.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing, like I said, I grew up in quite a white environment. And so, like, these kind of things were, like, I wouldn't necessarily know that there was something going wrong until I step out of that. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That's crazy. Yeah. Like, I got called caramel and, like, milky coloured for, like, the duration of my school years. And like, I didn't think anything was wrong with it. I was just like, yeah, okay. That's what I am.
One time one of my white friends, he's not really a friend anymore, he said, you're basically black joy, because we were around so many white people that he was basically comparing me to the fact that you're so different to all of us that you're basically black joy. And I went, but I'm not.
No.
And you've been to my house and you've met my mom and you've met my dad.
That and it's, it's like frustrating.
And I'm not. And then, but it's like, that okay, so what is your definition of black? And then I just thought like, because, right, so then I was thinking, okay, maybe he's saying that because he's stereotyping black people for people from South London. Or, do you know what I mean? It's like, what's your definition of black exactly? Because if I'm so...
Next
you know
time
I mean?
You tell someone, no, no, I'm not racist, I've got a black friend, he's talking about you.
Oh, my God. You know, oh, no, oh, no, no.
Imagine.
And I just, it like that sentence has always confused me about that friend.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life, like, I always think about that. Because we were at, you know, we weren't 9, 10. We were fully, like, 16. Yeah. An age where you know what's coming out your mouth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's been a moment like that for me when I think mine must have been, like, 15, just getting into makeup. And I was like, oh, I want to buy some foundation. My friend was like, you can't buy foundation, you're black. And I was like... And that, for me, was a moment where I was like, you're crazy. Like, this is crazy.
What age are you, 16?
Pardon?
What age are you, 16?
Yeah, about that.
That is 15, so... 16. Like, the way I see it is, you're 16. You know what's coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Like, wash it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But it's this, like...
When you're in the school where, like, you want the only ones, like, sometimes, like, you challenging that might mean you don't have no friends.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel too white to be in black spaces?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And I think that is another, especially when I first came to London.
Yeah, I was going to say, because London's like, hello.
Yeah.
Like, we're all here. Do you know what I mean?
LA, baby.
There's like everyone. Yeah. Everyone from around the world is here. So you'll find your people.
Yeah.
But and I think same, that,
you find your people, but then you have to, like we said at the beginning, relearn
or
learn what is right and what is wrong. And I think, like, so for me, it took a while. This is really interesting because my brother is, like, we grew up just outside of Birmingham, but obviously my brother's older, so he spent more time in Birmingham and spent more time with having black friends. And so for him, it wasn't so much of a shift. For me, it was, and I found it pretty hard to, like, really identify with both different sides. Because it does feel like you're in two different... Sometimes it does feel like you're in two different social groups.
100%.
And I think, like, that's the crazy...
But do you know what I find mad? Is, like, when you are friends... So you get all this stuff from your white friends being like, you're this, you're that, constantly reminding you how ethnic you are. But then when you're around, like, when I'm around Bengali people...
You're like... No,
I'm like... And they're like, you're so white.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, well, like...
Who am I?
I think... No, I don't think that anymore, actually. Yeah. I think, shut the fuck up, because it's my choice who I am. Like,
when you start saying stuff, people stop. Man,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's how you carry yourself as well. I'm just like, you cannot test who I am because I'm here and this is who I am and there's no way.
Mm. How long did it take you to get to that stage?
I'd say when I was like... I'd say in the last year and a half, 2 years.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just... I'm tired of... I bet when you meet Sierra Leonean people... it's just tiring to explain it now. You know what I do? Actually, I got invited to BBC Asian Network to perform as an Asian artist, right? And South Asian, because obviously BBC Asian Network, generally all the people there that night were South Asian.
Yeah.
Indian, Pakistani, Sri Lankan, Bangladeshi, whatever, right? Mm. I've just finished performing at the South Asian, BBC South Asian event, yeah? This woman comes up to me. She grabs my hair. Am I slightly problematic? She's also South Asian. I have a traditional South Asian hairpiece in my hair. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm at a South Asian event. She goes, do you know what this is in your hair? And do you know what I thought? I'm just going to tell her no. No. And I went, no, love, I don't. And she went, where are you from? And I went, Bangladesh. Then I took my hair back and I was like, and it's called Parandi. And then she was like, she was mad confused. And I just thought, you know what? I didn't even need to explain myself first and foremost, which is why I said no. But I'm just tired of... It's boring now.
Yeah.
It's so boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
You must have that.
I do get it. But you know what it is for me? Back here, a lot of sailing people I meet, the young people that I meet don't know about it. Do you get me? They don't really know about back home. A lot of them. Like, bare people that I meet when I ask them about.
But then I think that that lends itself to more ignorance, because then they're quicker to go with, you know, you're not Sierra Leone.
Yeah, I hear that.
Like, I get that from Bengalis, and I'm like, but I've been back home and you haven't, and we're the same age, and you've grown up in London as well, and you're telling me I'm not Bengali when you don't, you don't even know what people look like back home.
Yeah.
So I don't, how does that work?
Yeah, it's mad for me. I don't know. For me, it's one of them, like, when I'll be around, like, my brothers that are black and that, like I said, wouldn't really get into it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They never talk about, oh, you're Nigerian, you're Ghanaian.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll be me talking about it. Because I've always been interested in it. But I don't know, man. When I was growing up, like, obviously, I'll be in spaces where man will be around, like, a lot of black people, and they'll be like, some man, if they haven't met man, they'll think, who's this little Moroccan you trying to think he's black, like? But gee, I'm more black than you, Ak. But it's not about that, innit? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's not about that. I think for me, it's one of them, like, I do get what you're saying about, like, people like trying to question you. It's annoying because you think, because of the way man look, like, I'm like, that's what I'm saying. That like, my dad is Lebanese, yeah, but he's grown up in Africa his whole life. So he's like mad African, like he sounds African, just moves like an African.
I think people need to differentiate colour from culture.
Yes.
And I think you might be lighter skinned. Da, da, da. I know Izzy Bizu, she's Ethiopian and mixed with potentially white, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
This girl like speaks Amharic, she loves her culture, she's all about her culture. So I think it's very ignorant for people from back home, or not even from back home, that are from our countries here, for them to be like, oh no, but you're not this, and it's like, well, you're the one speaking the mother tongue. And
man,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
of course.
That for me, that's something that doesn't make much sense either. It's like, you don't have to, like, mannerism is just as strong as looks to me as well in some ways. If does that make sense?
A lot of people, you can tell where they're from, man, by their mannerisms.
Yeah.
Especially like Caribbean people, you can often like,
you can
say
differentiate
something
north
and like,
south from west and east of London, let alone like culture.
Yeah, trust.
From mannerism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, mannerism is so important.
Yeah.
I have a Bengali girl, like a girlfriend. She's a, like, I've been close with her for ages, and she said, Joy, and this was one of the most affirming things, because she was born there. Like, she's Bengali through and through. And she said, Joy, don't listen to people that want to tell you X, Y, Z. She was like, I watch you. And the way you feed people, the way you carry yourself, you have it in you.
You fed me still first day you met in the studio. I'll never forget it.
Did I feed you as well? Wait, what did I get you?
Good curry, man. You brought it to the studio.
Quick one.
Did I bring a curry? Oh my gosh, that is so
mean. Yeah.
Do you think that's genetics? Do you think that's something to do with your
mannerism? No, it's roof. It's under my roof. That's just what happened.
But like, but then I did an interview with this artist the other day, and he was talking about his daughter. And he'd never like danced to music in front of his daughter, never like been on the piano in front of his daughter. And his daughter's a year old now, and his daughter is on the piano trying to work out the keys, is nodding her head to music. So like, for me, I think some things are
She's just naturally 1 year old and lit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I feel like every human is built with that in them. Like, music is like such a pure human thing to do, to react to vibrations. It's like, we're all born with that. And then
some kids are just more into it.
Distracted from it.
My little brother, when he was 2 or 3 years old, he used to sing back Bob Dylan lyrics to me. And I was like, okay, you're going to be one of those kids. Like,
what's the age difference?
I moved that.
15 years.
Okay.
So he's 6 now, and he's written his own script.
Sick.
For a movie. And he wants me to work in the Indian restaurant in his movie. Which is low-key problematic. But, you know, he's 6, so we move regardless. I've got a huge question. Would you guys date someone from one of your... And I know that doesn't sound like anything, because some people are like, it's nothing, like, of course. But would you date someone that was Jamaican... English, or like not just Jamaican or just English? Would you date
1,000%?
A Lebanese person or Sierra Leone?
My mum will never let me go out with someone from Sierra Leone.
This is what I'm interested in.
She knows.
Yeah. Right. I know it right out.
Shout out, Uman. Hey, nah, you know what? Cause my mum's one of them, like, proper, like, she's like, never.
Really?
Right.
Don't get twisted. She's a good girl. That? Makes sense. Like, she's a good girl. It doesn't matter. Like, I'll chat to my mum, but my mum will definitely not want me to go out with a woman from Sierra Leone.
And how do you feel about that?
Like, if born in England and in Sierra Leone, she might maybe one day be like, cool, that's fine, after years of asking, please. And but born in Sierra Leone, bro, she just... I don't know how to explain it. But you have to be real on this thing. So I'm going to be real. Like, it's one of them where my mum, African people, the way they are, yeah.
Do you think she'd rather you date someone lighter?
It's not about that. Okay. She doesn't mind that. Doesn't like their ways. Mm. Okay. And when you've grown up in around it, you've seen it, you know the way people are, innit? And don't get it twisted, that's what I'm saying. Any person, if I was to meet the right person, cool. But I feel like it's one of them. Like, you know, like certain people, they stay away from certain things. A lot of people I know, they like to stay away from what they are. Mm. I don't know what it is. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I got friends that are Moroccan. I say to them, right, like, do you not want to marry a Moroccan team? Nah, man, never. Da, da, da.
Right.
Go, what? Why?
See, like, my Moroccan brethren is like, I ain't looking at nothing that's not Moroccan.
Yeah, yeah, I hear that. And then you got man like, the other way.
You've just like narrowed down like the pool so much.
I think it comes down to religion as well. Sometimes.
Yeah, religion plays a massive part. True.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think that as, for me, like coming from Bangladesh, which is a Muslim country, like there, and unfortunately, something that I notice when I'm back home, and also when I just ride through Whitechapel or Bangladeshi areas, if I want to wear a short skirt someday, I'm going to wear a short skirt. If I want to do this, if I want to have a tattoo, I will. That's what I do with my body. My body's my choice, right? Yeah. My grandma's the same. My grandma's practicing Muslim, prays 5 times a day. She wears whatever she wants.
Yeah. Mm.
She wears whatever she wants. She does it her way. Mm. And she's not up for judgment. And I think that unfortunately in like Bangladesh, men feel like they are gatekeepers of judgment. Mm. Like, and I'm not trying to overgeneralize, but there is this thing in South Asia, you know, some people say online, like, if you're a woman, and a lot of brown people from these countries say, if you're a woman, don't go and travel by yourself in these countries.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so for me, that's how I intellectualize the fact that I've never dated a Bengali boy. I'm not saying I never will, but it's very hard for me. Because I know that in my culture, I'm you know, I came from majority, just a woman lineage on my Bangladeshi side, because a lot of the men, unfortunately, were killed in the war. Yeah. But I don't know, it's just, are they going to see eye to eye with me? Are they going to treat me equally? And not, you know, I don't want to generalize. Mm. I know, and
that's
I don't want to generalize.
It's not easy.
But it's not an easy thing to say, because I'm not trying to offend anyone, but it's like, when you're from that culture... I don't know, you just...
That's what I'm saying, you understand the aspect of it that's obviously a negative thing that might not be in a person at all.
Yeah, we're open to the fact that someone will walk through and not adhere
but
to any of those things.
I think this is life. I think it's certain things in life you have to, like, not just put in a box and generalize, but certain things are, like, understanding.
Acknowledge.
You have to acknowledge it.
Yeah.
I always felt like, because I'm mixed, whoever I end up with is going to be a mixed relationship.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like,
see, this is what I've learned recently.
It was completely open. Like, I could be with anyone.
No, 100%.
There isn't like a culture that I haven't been like involved with someone from, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think that was ingrained in you from like a very early age? Do you think that?
Because I think we're talking about our mothers. Yeah. I think from our mothers. Yeah, I don't know about
my mum from early.
Yeah.
She's just to put down all Sierra Leonean women. She's the best one that was created. Yeah, because my mum, in my in Sierra Leone, in like West African culture, there's a woman that's a part of a family and they're called the mummy, the mum. My mum is mummy, innit? So my grandma is called Auntie Marie.
Okay.
Yeah, I call my grandma Auntie Marie. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But my mum is mummy. So my mum's dad will call her mummy. Like, her mum calls her mummy. So my mum is mummy.
The same. My grandma calls my mum mummy.
So there you go. You get me? Yeah. That's my Marjay, innit? So my Marjay used to always be on this, like, listen, man, I'm the real Sierra Leonean queen, but everyone else, I don't know. Like. So from early, I was just like, cool. But, like, when I was young, when I was, like, in school, I loved black girls. I don't know what it was, G. They're the only girls I liked.
That was me with black guys. When I was in school, I was like obsessed. But maybe because I didn't.
When I was in school, there was only white girls. But then when I got to college, there was only black girls. And it's like.
But also, I don't know, not to get like psychological with it, but you know, you are very close to your mom. I'm really close to my dad. were you close to your dad?
Yeah.
Like, we want to see that in our partners and not in an ancestral way, but in like a, you know, the qualities and your role model. You'd like to see parts of your role model
100%.
In the people that you're with, you know? So yeah, maybe your missus is French Algerian, but she might have similar traits to your mum.
Yeah.
Like my dad and my boyfriend have like really weird traits, but like my boyfriend's mixed race and my dad's white. But I think like you're saying,
true. I'm exactly like my girl's dad, like the same brother. Like he wears all my clothes. All my garms. I come to the yard, he's always in my garms.
But you know what? I think that this is why it takes me so long to find, or at least like to go on a date with a guy, because I'm like, wait a minute, you've got to tick so many boxes for me to like.
He might show you a couple of new boxes you weren't thinking about on that date though.
Yeah,
ooh.
Yeah, true.
Ooh.
I feel like we're like taking it. Yeah, it's true. So I want to talk about the item that you bought today, which was a quote. I feel like you have a quote.
I had one, yeah. I mean, I actually had two.
Yeah.
But this one came to me a little bit earlier.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't bring any items, guys.
It's fine.
Okay. It's fine. You're going. Every week on This Is Spoke, you know what it is, we get our beautiful guests to bring for a special item.
Whether that's a book, a quote, maybe it's a tweet, maybe it's a film.
Or maybe it's in a container that's already been
matched. No, my special item is not the biryani I ate this morning. We will get onto that in a second. I thought about this just before we started the podcast. I've been reading a poet called Naira Wahid.
Okay.
She's African American, and she writes really concise, tiny poems, and it's all in this book. And it's like a, I don't know, it's just really beautifully presented and really, really concise. And it's amazing that someone can come up with so much, or provoke so much thought with so few words and so few sentences. So I had this. I lost a whole continent from my memory. Unlike all other hyphenated Americans, my hyphen is made of blood, feces, bone. When Africa says hello, my mouth is a heartbreak because I have nothing in my tongue to answer her. I do not know how to say hello to my mother. And then she ends it with hyphen African American too.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty epic.
That is very deep.
How many?
It's mad deep.
Is that the first one you've read so far from her?
No. I've read the whole book.
Okay.
But it's just because we had the conversation about not knowing your mother tongue. And when she said, my mouth is a heartbreak, and I read that, like I read it like months ago, it just stayed with me. And she calls, you know, Africa her mother.
Yeah.
And I was talking about how African Americans, they don't, you know, they've had to almost make their own culture.
Yeah, they have.
You know,
100%. A lot of my African American friends, when I go in their houses, the ones that are like conscious, we'll have like all this Egyptian stuff in their house, and it's like,
and like
that's what they'll like associate with,
and like, respect to that, because you know what, they were stripped. Africa. They were stripped.
Yeah, no, 100%. But I just, in that moment, I thought to myself, yeah, I'm so lucky to know so much, like the difference between West Africans, East Africans, South Africans. This is so Africa varies so much. It's wild to me that it's considered like one race. To call black people one race actually to me is kind of wild still.
Well,
it's so different.
Even just saying African American,
Yeah, it's mad. Even just saying that.
So that one was, that's a special one for me. And then I had one more poem. One second. I just find it funny. One sec.
Saying that and draw for the poem.
Yeah.
Draw for the lang.
It's by Philip Larkin. It's called This Be the Verse. One second. Let me just get it up. I know it off by heart, but I just read
it. You got poems on deck. I respect it.
Okay. They fuck you up, your mom and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were fucked up in their turn by fools in old-style hats and coats who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Man hands or misery to man, it deepens like a coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can and don't have any kids yourself. The only reason why I like that one...
I love that one. I actually love that one.
Particularly, it's not, you know, it's not about ethnic parents. It's a white man that wrote it, but... the line, but they were fucked up in their turn by fools in old style hats and coats who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Like, that's what I was talking about with the generational thing, where it's like you went through shit for ages, and now it's come down to us. And sometimes I feel like we have a responsibility to be doing the clearing up,
yeah.
Especially because we're able to have conversations about depression, about anxiety, about mental health. Even if we're talking about grime, we're talking about music,
yeah.
You know, people you wouldn't associate mental health issues with, like Bugsy Malone, for example. Bugsy yeah. Malone is out here talking about depression, talking about anxiety. Like we're all joining the conversation now. Like even people from ENDS. And like that's so important. Like that's so important to me. That is so important to me. And yeah, that's why I like this poem.
No, I love that poem because what I took from it was like, what do you think the responsibilities of parents are in educating like their mixed race children? Because I think that's really interesting.
It's up to them, isn't it?
I think just to teach you're pride, man.
Yeah.
Just to teach pride, man.
Massively.
That's what it is, to teach pride. Yeah.
Do you think they should? It should be that they go out their way to teach pride, or because what's your experience? Obviously,
like it wasn't spoken about until it was problematic.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I was quite unlucky in some ways because like we dealt with like really quite aggressive, violent racism. Do you know what I'm saying? Whereas I felt like a lot of people in London or in inner London, maybe didn't deal with it. The same way, like getting chased, getting beat up, can't go to this road, can't go on that estate, can't go in that pub. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think my parents were just kind of reacting on their feet. So when my mum says, look, you just got to start fighting. Do you know what
It's about survival. It becomes a question of a survival as opposed to like, that's why I said I wouldn't want to be that mixed race person that sits there complaining about these, you know, you need to have perspective.
Yeah.
And like when I talk to people like yourself, like generations above me
that
have lived in London, you know, back in the 80s and the 70s,
And then my dad's different. Thing was always kind of like, look, like you can still be like, a respectable young man out here. Doesn't matter what they think of you. Do you know what I'm saying?
But you were in survival.
Learn how to speak. Do you know what I mean? Walk properly. Like hold your head high. Do you know what I mean? Look at how rich our music is. I guess for me and my kids, I just want them to be proud of everything that they are and just see it as like a superpower, not like an obstacle or something that they've got to deal with. Because that's what it kind of was for us. I feel like maybe you know. Yeah.
And she's lucky to be around two parents that are mixed as well. I'm proud.
Yeah.
So it's not even a conversation of, it doesn't sound like you need to sit her down and go, well, little one.
No.
Because you practice what you preach as opposed to having to preach it to
I know it's working already. She has a childminder and she told me that she won't eat all the food and she thinks it's because her food's bland in it and we send in fancy food, which she meant rice. So I think my girl's taken on, you know, the cultures of her parents just like
On that note, you mentioned how rich your music is. We're going to talk about your music throughout this episode. Thank you so much for coming on, joining us today. So give yourselves a little plug and let us know what you're doing.
Oh, what are you up to, Swindle?
Well, I've just released my album, No More Normal.
Jeez.
Still hitting the streets hard.
Amazing.
And thank you.
Yeah, sick.
Have you got like shows coming up?
Nah, I'm stopping now.
You're breathing.
Yeah. I've done my shows.
Yeah.
You
did Bush Hall. It looked amazing.
Did Bush Hall, Glastonbury. We've had like loads of incredible shows. It's like super ambitious show. Some of these shows we had.
I saw because you got the brass band on there too.
Yeah, Bush Hall. We had 27 people on stage,
and that's not a big stage.
Crazy.
It's not a big stage.
It's not a big stage.
Glastonbury, we had about 20 people on and off stage, so it's not a kind of show I can do every week.
I've done
my 10. I'm gonna get back in studio.
What's it like when they're all just doing your music, bro?
Yeah, it's just like it becomes our music.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I'm saying? It becomes like
because you work. So, for example, like Cody's on your album, but you've also produced for him. And like obviously, like his newest stuff as well has that live sound, which is what you're known for. So, I find that amazing because it's like, that's Koji. We all know Koji's voice, but we know Swindle's production now, and the fact that you both have like really honed into your crafts, and because you know it so well. There's so much confidence in standing with someone.
And being like, it's our work.
Because
we're not alone anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And because you know what you're doing. And so people will hear that and be like, that's a proper Swindle beat. No one's going to compare you because you have carved out exactly where you stand and who you are. Particularly with this new album, I think.
Yeah,
as well.
Massively.
Massively.
Jeez.
Yeah, I like Koji especially feels just like...
Everyone knows Koji.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But it feels like
that's Koji.
It feels like Missy and Timbaland or... Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Dre and Snoop or whatever. It's just like super easy, that link up. And like, yeah, find that five times. Mm. Go on tour with all those people. It's just like...
Yeah.
It's kind of the one still.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congrats.
What about yourself?
I am going to America on Monday for the first time.
Jeez.
To do writing in LA.
Jeez.
How do you feel about it?
Like, pre-British about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I feel like they're not going to understand a lot of the things I'm saying. I'm going to be like, right, I want to talk about Old Kent Road.
Don't say bin.
What is Old Kent Road?
Don't say toilet. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Or toilet.
Don't ask for the toilet. Don't ask for the bin. You got to ask for the trash can.
Yeah, true.
I just feel like I'm going to become like a hyper version of myself. And like just like Joy Crook 2.0.
Like,
2.0. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
And then I've just got a couple plans for the autumn, but just hush stuff, basically.
Hush.
But yeah, I'm writing music and I'm getting inspired, hence why I just carry in poems around.
Yeah.
I read it.
We appreciate it.
I've come up with this thing to like read a poem to my partner every night.
Wow.
Because that's not only in a love way, but like I just feel like it's nice to end the night not on Instagram feed, but on like, all right, let me read you a poem from this book, or, you know, because I'm reading it and I'm taking it in myself and he takes it in.
That's it.
I just feel like I narrate better.
Boom. Yo, this is Zoo.
And this is Fan.
Thank you very much, Troy. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Swindle.
Pleasure is
thank
mine.
For coming
Thanks
through.
For having
Absolute
us.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Show.
I feel like we've just mixed all our heritage together.
Yeah, put it into
one. Just
words.
Created one.
Big curry.
One supreme race, but
boy, you are some mad leader, aren't it? Boom.
Hey guys, if you're loving the podcast and want to support the cause, make sure to rate and review us.
Make sure you tell your friends and follow us on Insta and Twitter
at
This Is Spoke Pod.
Pod.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.